Welcome to a new edition of the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino. On this episode, we talk with speaker and author Sarah M. She's had huge life lessons and gained wisdom that impacts others due to her experience of surviving the mass genocide of Cambodia. Her inspirational award-winning book, How I Survived the Killing Fields, was honored in 2015. As a speaker, she shares how tenacity, perseverance, and faith are required values to conquer fear and reach success. Sarah speaks to help listeners refocus, build confidence, and develop self-leadership at corporate events, conferences, churches, schools, TV, podcasts, radios, and more. She operates a wellness business, Smart Healthy Living. She is also the co-host of a weekly live show on Facebook called A Thriving Conversation. Enjoy this interview.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
Very good, thank you.
Great to meet you. Where are you coming out of?
Florida.
Okay, Florida. Excellent. I love it down there.
Where are you?
I'm in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, Kansas City. Yeah, my son is in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. Do you ever come up here?
Yeah, I just went last May for my granddaughter's graduation.
Okay. Do you like it?
Yes.
It's a good town.
Really nice.
Yeah. Well, it's great to meet you. You have a wonderful story. And before we delve into it, I want to know, first and foremost, the last 3.5 years living through a pandemic. How did you get through it and how did it change you?
The last 3 years in the pandemic, how did I get through? I get through on focusing on helping other people. I remind myself of the time that I was in the pandemic in my country during the war. But it was a very difficult pandemic. It was a complete shutdown. But the pandemic here in the United States is very mild compared to where I came from. So that's I'm using the time to encourage other people by creating a more like a podcast, but it's on Facebook. It's a Facebook Live podcast.
Okay.
With my co-host. So yeah, we just got together and so that we would share our story and encourage other people to share their story, how they get through the tough time. So once we get to know each other's story, we can relate to each other and we can share empathy and kindness to one another.
So let's get to the essence of what you do as a speaker and an author. If I had you in front of a bunch of grade school kids, let's say third graders, and it's career day, and one of the kids asks you, what do you do for a living? How would you answer that child?
What I do is to help people to get through the difficult time and move on to reach their goal. So my role as a speaker, as a motivator, as inspirer, that's what I would like to do, is to give people inspiration so they can look forward to their goal, to their own goal.
So talk to me a little bit about, what were some of your dreams when you were growing up? Did you have dreams of doing certain things when you were in the third, fourth, fifth grade?
Well, it's pretty hard for me to think back, because at that time I grew up in a rural country and don't have much opportunity, don't see too much of the life that people live, except the farmer's life. I was a farmer's kid. So not much imagination what I want to do. But I was thinking about teaching. Teaching is a wonderful opportunity to help the children, to help other people to learn something new and to use what they learn to do something about it.
So take me back so you grew up in Cambodia, correct? So talk to me a little bit about you know, that was kind of the basis for your book. Talk to me a little bit about the difference when you came to America. When did you actually come to America?
I came in 1981 when I was already 27.
Okay. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, writing this book and getting to a point where you felt like you wanted to get the story out. How did all of it come together?
Well, for many, many years, I never thought that I would write the book. I would never want to bring up my story because it's a very heartbreaking story. Why do I want to stir up something so bad? But at one point, I realized that my bad story can help, can give people hope, because I come out from the bad situation and now I'm flourishing, you know, compared to the situation in the past. So I realized that sometimes the bad situation can give you a good perspective to see that the dark time will never last. It only come into our life for only a period of time. If we are strong enough to come through during the dark time, you will do good. You will build your strength, your resilience. So when I realized that my bad story can help other people, then I began to think about writing the book.
So what was it relieving to finally get to America in 1981? How did that happen?
It happened when the whole country was liberated, but I escaped before I realized that the country was liberated.
Yeah.
I escaped out of captivity, and I found my family, which I had been separated in the dark time for 4 years. That's what kept me alive. I was separate from my family without knowing what happened to them.
Wow.
But in my mind, that I want to survive because I want to show up in my family's life again to help out. So that was a very good motivation, good purpose for me. So I keep that purpose, keep that motivation alive during my difficult time. And finally, when thing is over, I found my family. But the country was chaotic. There's no government, there's no rule or regulation or anything. It's dangerous. So my mom convinced me to escape. So I escaped out of Cambodia.
And so did they come to America? Is that how you reunited?
No, they did not come before me. I'm the first one who come out of Cambodia.
Okay. So during that time, you obviously had to stay strong. Who was kind of a hero or an inspiration that made you stay strong and stay focused on reuniting with your family?
I don't have a hero, but I thought about my mom. She was a hero in my life. She became paralyzed for 4 years before the communists took over. She was laid flat on her bed, and for 4 years she couldn't do anything. But she recovered. And during her sickness, she taught us how to do business, how to make a living, because I was a kid at that time. But without her leadership, we become very poor. We lost all our money taking care of her. Well, it's not lose the money to take care of her, but we did not have a way to earn income during her sickness. But we survived. We survived, and our love grows stronger between me and my mom and my brothers. So During hard time, it can be a place, a time when we come together to become strong as a unit and live life together. So that was a time when it helped me to remember that things will be better. So
yeah.
During the pandemic, during the communists took over, working in the rice field in the forced labor camp, I keep thinking things will get better. Things will change. It's just my positive outlook on life.
Yeah. So is when you got to America and you realized and kind of got into our culture and how we work, we have no idea what you went through. There's no way in our history that anybody, if we haven't been in that situation, would have any idea how extreme it was.
I have no idea. And I just stay quiet. I came in with nothing, not even a penny. But there was a, I have a sponsor. I have a relative who came to the United States before the war, and he sponsored me to come. And then before I moved to the United States, he got moved out from Connecticut. So there we go. My only connection got moved out from the destination that I'm going to. But he entrusts my life with his church. He have a church that he said, my niece is coming, please help her. So that's how I grew up in the new country with in the hand of loving, kind people. I cannot imagine. I couldn't believe myself that people, strange people, can be so kind.
So what was the best, what's been kind of the best thing about living in America for you?
What's so nice about it is that we don't have a ruler, we don't have a dictatorship anymore. We don't have a communist regime. We don't have to work extremely hard as a slave and get fed very little food and starve to death. It is a contrast, a big contrast between where I came from to the United States.
So writing this book, How You Survived the Killing Fields, what did that do for you? Was it a relief? Has it helped heal you? Have you gotten a lot of letters from people? What's been kind of the overall effect of you writing this book?
While I was writing, it's kind of healing for me. And it also, I start to learn, to grow, to look back to my experience. And I learn a lot. I pick out a lot of lessons from revisit my background. Because if I did not write the book, I did not have a chance to look back. What have I learned? What was my strength? What kept me alive? What kept me moving? What inspired me to continue in my life? So it's just so much that I gained from writing my story.
So there's people obviously on the planet right now that are going through what you live through. And if for some reason they hear this or they get your book or they get your story, what do you want them to know? What would you tell them about survival and the hope of getting to another place?
What I like them to know that keep focusing on the future and have a purpose in your life. And have hope, never give up hope. And also have love. I attribute my survival to the love for my family. I love them that keep me moving, keep me thriving to never give up. And also faith. Everybody have their own faith.
Yeah.
Believe in your faith and trust that that you will make it through. So yeah, if anything, people don't remember anything about my story, just remember one thing, never give up hope, because the difficult time will never last forever.
So as a writer, what's been one of your favorite books that you've read in your life that's been an inspiration for you?
My favorite book that I read?
Yeah, that you've ever, yeah, that you've read.
I read so many books, but the book that I like most is The 7 Habits of Most Effective People. That's 7 qualities that keep people succeed. So that's one of them. And believe it or not, I love a lot of story in the Bible. There's so many wonderful stories that because of their faith, they succeed. Yeah, they struggle, but at the end, they succeed.
So what's been one of the best letters, fan letters you've gotten from your book?
One audience, she was in my audience, and she saw me later, about a few months later, after she listened to my story. She met me again, and she told me that I have changed her life. And I was shocked. I said, how could I? I only spoke. She said, before I listened to your story, I was suicidal all my life. But you changed my mind. Now I'm no longer suicidal.
Wonderful.
So that keep me going.
Yeah, for sure. So of all of the things that you've done and accomplished and overcome in your life, what are you the proudest of?
The proudest of all is that I have done this not for my own self alone. I've done this for my whole family. And now that all my family are here and safe, now I want to help other people, even though they are not related to me, but they are human beings. They need help, they need support, they need encouragement. And I am doing this interviewing with you is to share the message of hope.
So everyone out there has an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, all of the readers of your book, but you ultimately live your life. What's your perception of you? Who do you think you are?
I think I am a normal person, but just care so much about other people around me. And I want to help them the best possible I can, the way that I can do it.
How I Survived the Killing Fields is the book. If anyone wants to pick it up, where's the best place? Or to go see you speak or anything about you and your story, where's the best place for the listeners to go?
They can go to my website, sarahim.com. It's saraim.com/book. They will find that book. That's the only place they find.
Sarah, you're an inspiration. Thank you for giving us your story, your time, talking about your strength and resilience. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Thanks for tuning into another famous interview with Joe Domino, where we cover the world of art, literature, business, spirituality, music, and more from around the globe. Our esteemed theme music was composed and produced by the great E.E. Pointer of Kansas City's River Cow Orchestra. If you want to hear more interviews, visit the Famous Interviews with Joe Domino channel on YouTube. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Thanks again for listening, and until next time.